From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Today we heard President Obama take a tougher tone on Iran. He referred to the Iranian government's iron fist and said he was appalled and outraged by the threats, beatings, and imprisonment of those protesting the official outcome of the presidential election. The streets of Tehran have grown quieter as Iranian forces have cracked down on protesters. Today, those voicing dissent did so by honking car horns, turning on car lights, or chanting from rooftops. New York Times columnist Roger Cohen has been filing vivid accounts from Tehran for the past 2 weeks. I spoke with him earlier today, hours before he was to leave Iran.
The storm of the last 10 days has ebbed somewhat. That said, there's still a tremendous amount of tension and smoldering anger about the events of the last several days.
Do you see this as a sign that dissent has effectively been crushed in Tehran, that the opposition has acquiesced to extreme shows of power by the government?
Well, I think the show of force, which has been scary, the array of forces on the street has been something I've seldom witnessed in what is a pretty long career at this point. The plainclothes Basiji militia with their helmets and shields and clubs, and the black-clad Robocop riot squad police, revolutionary guards in camouflage, and they've all been moving on and attacking anybody gathering for several days now. And of course, more than a dozen people have been killed, and this definitely has had a dampening effect, not on the anger, but on the presence in the streets.
You mentioned the Basiji militia, who've been the thugs out on the streets. Can you tell us more about the Basiji militia? Who are they? Where are they from?
They're from all over the place. Every little village has a Basij unit. They're kind of the shock troops of the regime, at least they have been in recent days. And they are a part of, while distinct from, the Revolutionary Guards, who are the elite force of the revolutionary regime. And I've seen in the last couple of weeks huge number of really kids on the street. I mean, they look no more than 15, 16. They've clearly been bussed in from places around the country, and they've been hitting people. They've been hitting men. They've been hitting women. And I should say that in my observations here, women have been braver, if anything, than men. Quite extraordinary.
How have you seen that?
Well, I've seen, on several occasions, I've seen women screaming at men and advancing toward the elite anti-riot police, who are pretty scary looking in their black Robocop outfits, screaming, "Come on, come on, what are you doing? Why are you retreating?" And when the cries of Allahu Akbar, God is great, and death to the dictator, and the other things that you hear echoing around Tehran around 10 o'clock at night, you know, there are more women's voices, I would say, than men's.
I want to ask you about one young woman who's become a symbol of the opposition movement in Iran. That's Neda Agha Sultan, and there's now a widely circulated video of her dying in the street after she's been shot. Evidently, she was not a protester herself. You actually spoke with the music teacher she was with just before she died.
Well, she certainly, he said she wasn't political. I think she had taken part in the demonstration, and they were leaving it in a car when she was killed. They'd stopped. Well, you know, traffic is terrible here always, and it was hot, and they got out of the car, and the shot came from the north side of the street from a building, and she was killed. He said she took about 5 minutes to die. And so that, you know, image clearly has become kind of an emblem around the world of what's going on here. I think people in many, many different places have been profoundly moved by the courage of Iranian youth. And the regime is ruthless, particularly right now in, for example, Neda's family, you know, they've been threatened by the regime if they told in non-certain terms not to talk to the press.
What are you hearing from young people you've been talking with in Tehran about Neda's death? Has it Has it changed anything for them? Has it galvanized them or made them more fearful, maybe, of being out in the streets?
I think it's made them fearful, but they really, really, really want their freedom. And, you know, it's been 30 years since the revolution. There was a kind of baby boom here that is now peaking, and two-thirds of the population is under 35. And the people I've talked to, you know, aged 18 to 30 in Tehran, I mean, they want more freedom. They want freedom. And Nedim is a symbol for them, I think, of the brutal treatment that's been meted out by the regime since June 12th.
When the young people tell you that they really want their freedom in Iran, how do they articulate what that means to them?
Well, I think if you're here, you know what it means. You know that you don't want to live with self-censorship. You know that, at least in some greater degree, you want to be able to dress as you wish. You want to be able to travel. You want to come from a country that, when you say the name of that country, you don't see a shadow pass across people's faces. You want to be able to go and study abroad. You want to have global opportunities. You want to be in a country that's connected to the world, and you want the kind of debate and openness that happened in that couple of weeks before the election to be not an ephemeral moment of release, but a permanent state.
Well, Roger Cohen, thank you very much for talking with us.
It's a pleasure, Melissa.
It's New York Times columnist Roger Cohen speaking with us from Tehran.